both sites.
The last thing we had learned was Simon Kuftzadi Dalit Sif Aleph. I don't remember if we had seen the acronym on this, so I'll just chazer for a moment. Remember, the Gemara said that on the 41st night after baby, meaning after right after Dam Tohar, or the 81st night after a baby girl, is you have to be Polish. Is an Isser Tashmish. So the question is, why is there an Isser Tashmish Bilel Mem Aleph for a boy or Pei Aleph for a girl? And here there are two pshatim, the Bahag and everyone else in the world. Says the, here's the Bahag, and versus basically all the Rishonim. I'm not going to list them. What is the reason for the Isser? So the Bahag says because of the Vesses. Chazal had a Mesorah, even though, I don't know, I've never checked with our doctors, they had a Mesorah that after the time the Torah declared as Dam Tohar, a woman is likely to bleed. It's a little funny, because remember, we pass like Rav, that it's Mayan Echad. Really, there's nothing special about Dam Tohar physically, it's just Xeris HaKasav. So we think with just Xeris HaKasav, why should that make a woman more or less likely to bleed? Nonetheless, the Bahag had a Mesorah that there was a Vesses on the 41st night after having a boy, 81st night after having a girl, therefore you have to be Purish because of a Vesses. And remember, we saw a Pshat that took this exceedingly far, right? The Aguda, who says that some place of the Medik Ta'asar all 40 days, just to make sure you remember this, which seems to be going a little far. However, all the Rishonim say differently. All the Rishonim say, no, it's not because of a Vesses. It's because it is just a reminder that from now on, Dam is Metame. After all, she was in Yemei Tohar for 33 days or 66 days. She bled and she was totally allowed to sleep with her husband and Taros and everything else. So she's like used to get out of jail free. Now she's going back to normal life where blood will have the regular demon. So therefore, as I said, as a reminder that now you're going back to normal life, refrain from Tashmish for one night. And then you'll ask, why do I have to refrain from Tashmish tonight? And they'll say, oh, it's a reminder that now you may Torah over and you're back to regular rules. And she'll know she's back to the regular rules. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina, all of the Rishonim say, is Bizman Hazeh De'ein Boalim Al Dam Tohar. Nowadays, we asur Dam Tohar. We don't keep the heter of Dam Tohar. So, according to the Bahag, it's still usher the on that night. It's a Vesses. A Vesses is a Vesses. But when the other Rishonim, no, the Isser doesn't apply anymore. The whole point was to remind you that from now on you're back to the regular rules. Then you don't need a reminder because you've kept all the regular rules for the whole time. You never had Dam Tohar, so you don't need a reminder that Dam Tohar ends because you never kind of had Dam Tohar. Halacha l'maisa, the Mechaber paskins by silence. He doesn't bring down this whole Gemara. It's a Mefurish Gemara. He doesn't bring down the Gemara. Why does Mechaber not bring down the Gemara? Because he thinks that it doesn't apply. Bizman hazeh. The Taz discusses this in Sif Katan Beis, and he says, "Les man de chashla. No one is choshesh for this, meaning no one's choshesh for Bahaz, we paskin bevadai, like the other Rishonim, that the whole reason the Gemara asked her that night is a reminder that Dam Tohar is over. Nowadays, that we don't take advantage, we don't use the kul of Dam Tohar, you don't need a reminder that it's over, and therefore we don't keep this Isser Bizman Hazeh. Okay, we're up to Sif Beis. Sif Beis. Now, Sif Beis, Sif Beis, and on, starts to discuss what counts as Leida, what doesn't count as Leida, halachically. So, Sif Beis says, Hamapeles besoch arboim ein choshesh levlad. Okay, if a woman, lo aleinu, miscarries within 40 days from pregnancy, she does not worry about the idea of Leida, because it's not called Leida within 40 days. What is it called in Gemara language within the first 40 days? No, Nafil is after 40 days. I think in modern day English, I think within the first 40 days they call it an embryo,
and afterwards they call it a fetus. You know, more or less the same borderline, right? So Chazal had the same idea in mind. They call it Maya Bialma. It's just water. And they don't mean it's water chemically. They mean it's just considered like water. It has no halachic status. In the first 40 days, the embryo has no halachic status. A fetus has some halachic status. But the embryo has no halachic status in the first 40 days. There's a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. Right? Rabbi Shmuel holds, no, it takes 40 days for a boy fetus to be formed, but 80 days for a girl fetus to be formed, because everything is doubled by a girl. We don't pass in that way. That's good thing we don't pass in that way, because it doesn't really match science. We pass like the Chachamim that says, no, the day of the Tum of Atara are doubled for a girl. That's exeris akasim. That's for philosophical reasons, not for science reasons. Scientifically, a girl fetus and a boy fetus take the same amount of time to form. For 40 days, it's an embryo, and only on the 41st day does it become a fetus. Which, again, I think that's how the doctors talk also.
When is the size of the baby?
Well, it's in the DNA from the moment of conception. When you can see it, I'm not sure, but it's in the DNA all along. When can you see it? I mean, there's an answer. I just don't know it. Sure, on the internet, they could tell you at what point, or anyone who's gone for ultrasounds maybe could tell you when they could tell the gender. Although, I don't know.
Just a fun fact, my wife told me that 40 days is the first time that they can measure brain waves.
Okay, look at that. Okay, now, so we say within 40 days, what do we say? We say it doesn't count as a baby. And this is true, by the way, for all halachic purposes. Not only for a purpose of Hilchos Nida, for all halachic purposes of miscarriage within 40 days, meaning 40 days of conception, does not count as a baby for any halachic purposes. You know, such as for pidyon haben, and I mean, there aren't that many halachic purposes that come into play. I know we haven't finished the Mechaber yet. There's a long discussion in Pesachei Truos of Katan Gimel. How do you count the 40 days? Meaning, how do you know it's within 40 days? Right? How do you know it's within 40 days? So, okay, maybe nowadays you can have an ultrasound and pregnancy tests, et cetera, et cetera. Let's say you don't have anything. All you have is what you can see with the naked eye. Right? How do you know if it's within 40 days or not? I mean, you can never know for sure. But how can you ever know that it's not Tumas Lida? Again, what happens? A woman has a miscarriage. Obviously a very small miscarriage. Right? And she bleeds for 2 days, then gets Shiva Nikiyam, and it's been 9 days. So she wants to know, can I tovel? Or do I have to be choshish for Leda? Maybe it was a girl fetus, and I have to wait 40 days. So if it's less than 40 days embryo, you're okay. How does she know it's less than 40 days embryo? So this is a machlokes between the Avodas HaGershuni and the Chavos Das. So, says the Avodas HaGershuni, he says, let's say, within 40 days of Tvila, there's no shash of Lida. Right? Meaning, if she miscarries, she miscarries within 40 days of the mikvah, then we know the embryo is less than 40 days old. Because she wasn't pregnant before she went to the mikvah, because she got her period. And she could only gotten pregnant after the mikvah, and it's been less than 40 days. That's the sheet of the Avodas HaGershuni, the Chuv Me'ave, he quotes here, agrees. He says, well, if she went to the mikvah for a kesem or something, it doesn't. Then who knows, maybe she was pregnant before she went to the mikvah. Right? So, the miscarriage of tefila from a period. Then there's no chash later. What is the assumption? Right? The basis is that a pregnant woman doesn't get a period. A pregnant woman doesn't get a period. Therefore, if she got a period, she wasn't pregnant. She could only become pregnant after her period. After she went to the mikvah, because she didn't sleep with her husband until after she went to the mikvah. So if she went to the mikvah only 40 days, 39 days ago, and then today's the 40th day, she has nothing to worry about. There's no Tumas Lida. The Tshuva Me'ava agrees with him, and the The Chachmas Adam, he quotes here, also agrees with him. So who agrees with him? The Tshuva Me'ava. At least it's a period, and the Chachmas Adam. However, the Chavos Das disagrees. What does the Chavos Das say? He says, don't you remember, so in Kuf Pei Tes, a woman's only Mesulekes Damim after she's pregnant for 3 months. For the first couple months of pregnancy, she still gets her period. So therefore, what does he say? He says, a pregnant woman in the first trimester can get a period. And therefore, who agrees with the Chavos Das? The Sidrei Tara and the Chasam Sofer. He says, what do you mean? She can get her period when she's pregnant. Maybe she was pregnant before the mikvah. She went to the mikvah 39 days ago. Maybe she got pregnant 60 days ago and then got a period. You can get a period in the first trimester and then totaled. So he says, how do you ever know the fetus is less than 40 days old? The only way you know that the fetus is less than 40 days old, so the only way to know there is no shash of Leda is if she didn't sleep with her husband. Until 39 days ago. She has to be poorish for her husband. If her husband was away on a business trip for 6 months and then came home 39 days ago, then we know there can't be a fetus here because she couldn't be pregnant more than 39 days because her husband was away on a business trip. Not if he was away for 1 week. Maybe she's pregnant before him. If he's away for 3 months, right? If he was away on a long business trip or in jail for a long time, meaning it's, according to them, it's very rare to ever know that the fetus is less than 40 days old because how would you know? Maybe you were pregnant before your last period. So that is an interesting machlokas in Metzius.
What's true?
What?
What's true about the first trimester?
What's true scientifically? So Rav Moshe writes that maybe it was different time of Chazal, but Nishtana Ateva, and this is true. A woman does not get her period. She could bleed, meaning lots of different things could make blood, but not a period. Not a normal period. Theoretically there could be blood, but not a normal period. Halacha lemaisa, Rav Moshe writes the Shtana Teva. He says that nowadays, he's not talking about this. He's talking about Vestos. But we do know that nowadays a woman can't get a period in the first trimester. So if she bled a little, you never know. She might have bled a little when she was pregnant. These things happen. But if it seems like a period, lemaisa, we can hold like the Avodah Zegershuni. If you had what seems like a normal period and then went to the mikvah 39 days ago, then we know that there can't be a fetus here, only an embryo, and therefore there's no Tumas Leda. Okay, so nowadays I think we can comfortably paskin like the Avodah Zegershuni, if it was a period. Okay, and of course nowadays also, people have other ways of knowing this. We have scientific ways of knowing this, although not everyone checks, but there are also scientific ways of knowing this. After the miscarriage, it's hard to have a scientific way of knowing it, because they can tell how big the fetus or embryo was sometimes. But they can't tell how long you've been pregnant necessarily because, it gets tricky. Like sometimes they'll say, you got pregnant 45 days ago, but the fetus stopped growing 35 days ago. So then the question is, what does that mean halachically? That gets very tricky. It's not the first in the postgame, so lemaisa, we'd be matter.
So if she knows that she was pregnant later than the amafila for 40 days, how do we...
If she knows, she knows.
We go by Matthias.
Even usually people don't know so exactly. But if she knows, she knows.
But the doctors can date her from her, no?
The doctors date approximately. Uh-huh. The doctors date approximately, not so Meduyuk. They can't tell you what day you got pregnant. They can tell you, they call it telling you what day you got pregnant because it's good enough for their purposes. Meaning, a doctor never needs to know the exact date. They just need to know more or less. So it's, but lemaisa, what doctors really do nowadays is they don't tell you when you got pregnant. They ask when your last period was and count from then. Because that way they don't have to do guesswork, right? And how long in between your last period and you got pregnant? They say it doesn't really matter. A couple days here, a couple days there, a week here, a week there is not going to make any difference to your treatment. That's the real answer. Okay, fine. Now, what does he end with? The Mechaber ends with, how do you have yom? Either she had only had tashmish in the last 39 days, or, according to the Avodah Zekar Shuni, which is what we would say nowadays, if she went to mikvah 39 days ago or less, after a period. However, if a woman miscarries, she's a nida, meaning through chum derav zera, that means she'd be shiva nikiyim, even if she didn't find any blood. I mean, normally, when a woman miscarries, she finds blood. But theoretically, in the not really so practical case where she miscarried and didn't find blood, she would still be a nida. Why? Because the rule is, says the Ramah, nisha if shalom psicha lekever below dam. V'nafkamina. So if she's nisha v'nikim anyway, what's the nafkamina that's not leida? What I said before, d'miyadlach shofar shav'nikim v'terzen if she has levlad. So the nafkamina is within 40 days, she counts shav'nikim, and she doesn't have to wait 14 days. But if it would be after 40 days, she'd have to count shav'nikim and make sure it's been at least 14 days. Okay, this is the rule of e'efchel psichas hakever below dam. There's a machlokes about this rule of e'efchel psichas hakever below dam. It's a machlokes tanoi. I'm Efshar Psichas HaKever below Dam. It's a Machlokes Tanon. It's a Machlokes Rishonim had a Paskin. Paskin is the Rambam Efshar. No, Efshar Psichas HaKever below Dam. If something comes out of the uterus and there's no blood, Efshar, the uterus open without blood. No one agrees with the Rambam. All the other Rishonim say no, Efshar. However, then we have another machlokas quoting the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes machlokas in the Sheoltos and others. Says the Sheoltos and the Razal, the Balmor, they say, but E-F-Shar, after 40 days, but E-F-Shar, before 40 days. Say it. E-F-Shar says it's below dam. After 40 days, when it's a fetus, then it's a big opening, there has to be blood. But within 40 days, there's no blood. The uterus could open without blood. However, the other Rishonim, such as the Ravid, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Rush, say, even before 40 days, E-F-Shar. And that is how the Mechaber Paskins here, this is the majority of you that have shown him, even if it's before 40 days and it's a very tiny embryo, nonetheless, if a woman miscarries an embryo or any other weird kind of part of a fetus or embryo, anything that comes out of the woman is... E-F-Shar seems like any piece of any type of blood or anything comes out of the woman, we say E-F-Shar seems like kever below dam.
Barab is the only one who says that it's possible for attack.
Yes, yes, he's a shittus yachid. So we pass in E-F-Shar seems like kever below dam, even if it was an early miscarriage within, even if it was an early miscarriage within 40 days.
For the, Rabbi Yashav, will it go first to count as Derech Riyasa for it to become a Nida?
That is a fascinating question. I saw in some of the Achronim on these, the Tara wanted to say that no, only if she had a Hargasha. Although she probably has a Hargasha of the miscarriage, so then, you know, I have no idea what a woman feels. So they say, no, it depends if she has a Hargasha.
Just a question, Messias, will women always know that it's like a miscarriage supposed to just smother fluid or...
So what's interesting is that, of course, if it's a really early miscarriage, it'll just look like a period, which is fine. I mean, that's fine in the halacha anyway, because the halacha is that we treat it like a period. So she won't necessarily have a very early miscarriage. As a matter of fact, until they met the pregnancy tests, women had a lot less miscarriages, because every woman whose period came 2 weeks late just said, oh, I had a shinoi for my vesis and my period came late. Now they invented pregnancy tests. Many women are like, oh, I'm shvilkas. Pregnancy. Ah, I missed my period. Tomorrow I go out to the drugstore, buy pregnancy. Yes, I'm pregnant. And then a week later she bleeds and she has a miscarriage. So in that way, it was better in the old days when she didn't feel she was pregnant than wasn't sad she had a miscarriage. She just said, oh, it's funny that my period came late this month. You know, it's a weird thing. But so so it depends how early it is.
Just to clarify, if it's within 40
days. After 40 days, she'll know it's a miscarriage generally.
If it's within 40 days, would she like a normal need though?
Yeah. Within 40 days, like normal, even if she doesn't bleed, which again is not so practical. We treat it like normal Linda. After 40 days, we treat it like Linda, which means it needs Shivanakiyam, and also to make sure there's been at least 14 days.
That counts as the last Rikia for Vestas going forward?
No. If it's a miscarriage, then we don't count it towards Vestos, because it's not a period. You know, it's not a normal period. Although, maybe within 40 days. It's an interesting question, right? Now that we have pregnancy tests, yeah, it's an interesting question. What if you only know it's a miscarriage because of a pregnancy test? It looks like you just got your period late. Would you count it for Vestos? After all, we treat it halachically like a period. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. I have to think about that.
All the way through from, let's say she passed on gives birth at normal term to have that baby, then it's still just Sheshavik image and
seven or, and yeah, if it's
it
a girl.
It doesn't like hit a point where like then it's like halachic leda.
It is halachic leda. After 40 days, it's a halachic leda. And what do we do for halachic leda? You need Shivanakiyam and you need to wait 7 or 14 days. 14 days if it's a girl. Halachically, there's no difference in Leda whether the baby is alive or even dead. Makes no difference in Leda whether it's full term or an early miscarriage, as long as it's after 40 days. Even after 40 days, there are many halachos about exactly how formed it has to be, which are not bekiyamin nowadays. So we say after 40 days, it's the same as having a live baby.
Is it different if they surgically remove the baby as opposed to...
Yes, that's going to be the end of the sermon. Well, it depends how. If they surgically remove the baby vaginally, then pashas is the same. There's all kinds of questions of chatzitza, etc., but pashas is the same. If they do a C-section, then that's different. Then we'll get to it. So sometimes what will happen, and this is a very common thing, a woman will have, you know, some sort of, the pregnancy will terminate somehow, you know, whatever exactly we call it, and sometimes then they'll have to do a procedure. It doesn't all come out. They'll have to do a procedure called DNC, which I forget what it stands for, to take out the uber. So that would count as later. How long? All lower later. Okay, the big issue that comes up here that has nothing to do with childbirth.
Even if it's through a tube, I don't say they put a tube up and they keep it through a tube. Or would that fall under shock? I don't know how to do
it. It's a good question. Lemaisa, there's always regular bleeding anyway, so no one's ever asked this question. I mean, regardless of what, also blood comes out some before and after. Basically, whatever you do, blood comes out afterwards normally. Like, you never need to use this rule, actually, because blood always comes out. I'm not sure. Right, it's a lot of things that I'm not sure of. I have to remember to figure them all out. Okay, the big, big issue is the Piskei Tshuvos of Katan Dalet here. Eifshel Psichas Kevri Lodam, the famous machlokes about Psicha Vibachotz. The Gemara, we pass in the Eifshel Psichas Kevri Lodam. But that's talking about when the uterus is opened from the inside to let something out. Right? Meaning a miscarriage of some sort. Or a birth of some sort. What if the uterus is open from the outside? How is the uterus open from the outside? Okay, so the Piskei Tshuva brings the Achron who says if a nurse puts her finger in, she's not going to go into the uterus. That's not going to go into the uterus. But there are instruments that the doctor will put into the uterus, not in normal procedures. Meaning, normal routine gynecological procedures, no one puts anything into the uterus. Either they just examine in Besachisom, or even sometimes they do something called a pap smear, which is a normal thing. It's a very good thing. It checks for cervical cancer. It's apparently, you know, someone told me once that cancer prevention is the most effective cancer prevention in the world per dollar. Meaning how many dollars you spend, how many lives you save, it wins. Because it's a very cheap way to check for cervical cancer, and you can always cure it if you find it early. Anyway, so a pap smear is, they go to the outside of the cervix, is the opening to the uterus. From the outside of the uterus, they chop a piece of piece of flesh, like they cut it off, they bring it to the lab and they analyze it or whatever exactly they do. So that's not psychos ever. It always causes bleeding because they cut off a little piece of skin or whatever. But that is not a halachic problem at all, because it's just a, first of all, it's not psychos ever. No one was in the kever, and it's a maka. I mean, it's an obvious maka. She had dush matzi adam. They actually cut. So lemaisa, most gynecological procedures should not cause dam. And should not go into the uterus. A pap smear causes dam, but that's a maka. So not only is she okay, even if she goes home and bleeds later that day, she's also okay, because it's supposed to bleed for a day. Not forever, but for a day. There are less common gynecological procedures where, if there's some problem, not routine, non-routine procedures, where the doctor will put an instrument into the uterus for, there could be a gazillion different reasons. You know, never routine. But if there's a problem, and there's a gazillion different kinds of problems, the doctor might put a clay into the uterus. So the question is, if the doctor puts a clay into the uterus, is do we say, and there's no blood, do we say, aim safe as a kever, blow down? Right? Or maybe the doctor puts a clay into the uterus, and then he cuts something inside. So maybe there's blood from a maka. But the blood from a maka is not a problem. Do we say there's also blood from safe as a kever, which is a problem? So this is a famous machlokas. This is a famous machlokas called Sichas HaKever Mi Bachutz, which is, the Gemara never dealt with it. I doubt they ever did in the time of the Gemara. What about Sichas HaKever Mi Bachutz? So, says the Noda Bihuda here, in Sivkat Dalu Pesach Tshuva, Ayin Noda Bihuda, Ein Chilip in Gram HaPsich Mifnimu Bein Mi Bachutz, there's no difference. Either way, she is Tmeya, so if you put an instrument into the uterus, it is a problem. However, that is, not everyone agrees to this. So here the Noda Bihuda, and if you look, the Badei Shulchan, everyone else, where he forced everyone, gives you a list of Achronim, the Avnei Nezer, says it's Patame, E Efshar B'lo Dam. Many Achronim, probably most Achronim, disagree. The Chazan Ish disagrees. He says, not true. We all find in the Gemara that as part of the process of miscarrying, you know, whether it's an embryo or a fetus or part of a fetus, etc., that comes out with blood. What does that have anything to do with a doctor putting an instrument in? Why should that cause blood? It's not like you pop a balloon and something comes out. No, miscarriage causes blood. That's what Chazal meant. They didn't mean opening the door causes blood. It's not like there's like a door and there's blood. If you open the door, it comes out. No, miscarriage causes blood. That has nothing to do with putting an instrument. And many, many Achronim are Mako, such as the Chazan Ish, here, going not in alphabetical order. Many Achronim on the Shulchan Aruch that we don't have printed here. The Beis Lechem Yehuda, the Shaarei Deya, and the Shecho Lameshev, First Lamoshe, Lamoshe, Beis Lechem Yehuda, Shaarei Deya, all say it's not Matame. Nope. Sichas HaKever is only b'fnim, not b'bachotz. That could be a big enough gemina for any woman who has a non-routine but common enough gynecological procedure where they put something into the into the rechem. How do we paskin? So Rabbi Willi paskins here like Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe says there's a machlokes. What is the shear of Psichas HaKever? What is the shear of Psichas HaKever? How open does it have to be? How big a piece has to come out? Anyone remember what the Mechaber paskind? In Simen Kof Peches? What did the Mechaber say? Remember he talked about a Chatif that comes out. So So the Mechaber said, well, a chaticha is okay if it doesn't have blood, if it has blood in the crevices, etc. Unless it's a big chaticha, then it's aim sikh is a kevra below down. What's the shear of a big chaticha? I didn't bring my kuf peches, so I don't know. The Mechaber says, well, a tube's not sikhas a kevra, lechora. It says bigger than the smallest tube. That's a pretty small shear, right? Shear, sikhas a kevra. Sas Yoser Mishpoferes Dak Shebedakim. Meaning the thinnest of the thin tubes. Meaning, tubes can be very thin. So, even if it's just like this much, that's thinner than the thinnest tube. Chaticha comes out. That's like, I don't know, that big? Well, that's bigger than the thinnest tube. Aim to sit on the cover low down. However, the Gura there disagrees. Oh, what's the Lashon of the Mechaber?
Just in addition to Ferris.
Okay, so the Lashon of the Shach, the Mechaber, and the Shach. Okay, let's put them together for the sake of simplicity. What did the Gra say right there? At the end of Simikot Peches, right? What did the Gra say there? The Gra says, you're crazy. Where did you get that from? Well, you thought like anything bigger than Shul Ferris might be a problem, because you know Shul Ferris is considered small. No, he says, we have a Makor. You have no Makor, you just made that up. There's a Makor. The Gemara has another nafkin of psichas and kever. What's the other nafkin of psichas and kever? Let's say a woman is lo aleinu, she is pregnant and the baby dies inside, stillborn. And she's walking around with a stillborn baby inside. Is she metame ba'ohel? Anyone? Lukias and Taros. The woman has a stillborn baby lo aleinu inside her belly. Is that metame ba'ohel? Tuma blua is not metame. When is it metame? When there's psichas hakever, when her uterus opens to give birth, then it's metame ba'ohel. Again, it has nothing to do with temple's need, so metame ohel, right? When is psichas hakever? So the Mishnah says, in olos ein l'nefelim psichas hakever ad shi agilu rosh kepika. No, we don't consider a nefel to have psichas hakever unless his head is as big as a pika. A pika is the thing that like you spin the thread onto. I forget what it's called. Maybe a spindle. And we know the shear of a pika is ke'etzva.
A thimble.
No, I don't think so.
That's as wide as a finger.
Could be. In any case, whatever it is. Says the Gra, we have psichas hakever in Shas, and it tells us in the Mishnah Olos how big it is. Why should you make something up that's not in Shas when I have something that is in Shas? And he seems to be convinced a lot about Kroni, even though it's against the Mechaber and the Shach. And he says, no. Kishir Pika equals Ke'etzba. What is Ke'etzba in our days? It's about 2 centimeters.
That's how big the baby's head has to be?
In order for it to be called psichas hakever. Or that's how big something it has to be to come out to be called psichas hakever. Says the Gra, if something 1.5 centimeters came out, it's not psichas hakever. That's not open. It's only open if something 2 centimeters comes out.
And it's extremely nice. It got a big dilation.
We'll get to it.
The same shear?
No, but it's you should have that happen.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, halach lemaisa, what are we paskin? Rav Moshe Paskins and many other poskim, and this is where it looks. Is that where it looks good? Shin Rav Moshe. If you want to look it up, it's in Pei Tes and Hebrews Moshe. First Yordeh Pei Tes, and many, many other achronim. They paskin that if you have steak or tutsud in lahakel or makel. What does that mean? That the psak is that. Psicha mi bachutz kishir etzba is metame. But psicha mi bachutz pachos mi ke etzba is not metame. But psicha mi bifnim pachos mi ke etzba is metame. Meaning, we're not making based on one side of the hakel. Only if you have two stuff in the hakel together. If a miscarriage comes out from inside and it's 1 centimeter, we're metaming, like the machaber against the grah. If a doctor sticks in an instrument that's 2 centimeters, we're metame, like the Nodi Huda against the Chazanish and the earlier Achronim. However, if a doctor sticks in a 1 centimeter instrument, then they're tutsav lahakel. Maybe psichum yachutz doesn't count, like Chazanish should be may, and even psichum yachutz does count, maybe the grah's right. And less than 2 centimeters is not called psicha. So because there are tutsav lahakel in this case, we are mako. According to the Gra, it's not a psicha, maybe the chutz. According to the Chazanish and many earlier Achronim, psichum achutz, it doesn't matter how many centimeters it is worth, it doesn't do anything. So here you have tutsav lahakel or mekel. That is the halacha le maisa. What does this mean practically? Practically, when the doctor inserts an instrument, it's almost always less than 2 centimeters. Because nowadays, they have very advanced medical instruments. You would be floored. I don't know, hopefully no one's ever had medical problems. And you'll never have medical problems, and you won't know any of these things firsthand. Okay, sometimes some people do have little problems, or bigger. But hopefully, you know, no one should ever have medical problems. But you'd be floored to see the instruments they have. They have instruments that are like 3 millimeters wide or something, like you can barely see them. And they have in them like a camera and scissors and like needle and thread for sewing. And I mean, it's really, it's like things from movies, but it's real life. It's ridiculous, the instruments they have. So most of the time when a doctor sticks in an instrument, it will not be a problem of psychosec ever. Most of the time will not be a problem of psychosec ever. As a general rule, if the doctor could put in an instrument without anesthetic, it's less than an etza. And it's not considered psychosec ever. Because an instrument bigger than an etza, that's big. Instrument bigger than my thumb, to stick that into the rechem, you'd need anesthetic, because it would be too painful otherwise. So generally, what we say is that there are a few people who are machmer nowadays, but it's not so common. Generally, we assume any instrument the doctor sticks in without anesthetic is less than an etzba, and therefore, psichos hakever b'chutz less than an etzba, with tutsav lahakel, we are mekel, and she's not a nida. Okay, then if she bleeds, then it depends. If the doctor stuck an instrument in maka, she's tolu b'maka. The doctor stuck an instrument that didn't make a maka, then that might be a problem. But the psichos hakever is not, in and of itself, an issue. And then, often, the doctor will stick an instrument to make a maka. So the psichos hakever is not a problem. If she finds blood afterwards, it's also not a problem. So there's a maka. And then she'll be tohora.
Are we calling this a sex feka?
No, it's not really sfeik sfeika. Only Rav Avadya says whenever there's a double machlokes sfeik sfeika. We just mean there are tutsav lahakel that are roi to someone, to be some echad.
What's the difference between
those 2 things? The Rav Avadya assumes whenever there's 2 different machlokos, you say sfeik sfeika and you're automatically mako. We assume no. Only if the poskim, the gedol leador, the big poskim, look at the 2 machlokos and judge that it's roi to be some echad on these tutsav lahakel because they're very strong. So in this case, I mean, it's an easy one. We never like to be makel against Nodi Huda too much, but most of are against Nodi Huda. That's a very strong tzad l'hakel. And the Gra has a better raya than the Machaber and most Achronim, so that's also strong tzad l'hakel, so you can do them together. That's the difference. Rav Avadya says any 2 tzad l'hakel are mutter. Everyone else assumes no, only if in the judgment of poskim they're roi to be somichon based on how strong they are.
Can you explain what the focus is about between the Gra and the Shach?
That it's like this. Everyone agrees if something tiny comes out, that's not called psichos hakever blodah. Because remember the Gemara says if a tiny hair comes out that's red and we soak it for 24 hours in lukewarm water and it doesn't melt, then she's not tmeya. The tiny hair came out, the uterus was open. No, that small opening doesn't count. A big opening, like a baby, does count. So the question is just, where to draw the line? What's a small opening? What's a big opening?
Do we have svaras or just...
No, the Gra doesn't have svaras, he's a machmer, because in all those we call it psichos hakever only if it's the size of a pika. And the machaber says, no, we can't bring a raya from that. That's a different area of halacha. It's a different inyan. And therefore, anything bigger than a smallest tube, I'm worried about, I'm nervous, and we're machmer. He doesn't really know, he's just nervous. Okay. There's a little more to talk about at the end of the siman, but we'll get there at the end of the siman. Now let's run through the rest. The rest of it is... You know, not, okay, Gimel. Gimel is a bit, if you've seen the Gemara or the Beis Yosef, there's a whole parak in Nida about all these monstrosities that a malformed fetus could look like. You know, it doesn't really mean she gave birth to a goat or something, meaning that's against the law. laws of nature. But a malformed fetus could look like any random thing in the world. You never know. And when is that considered a chalos vlad? When is it not a chalos vlad? Or what if it looks like a person? It's just not, doesn't have too many parts because it's very little and undeveloped. When does it count as a vlad? When does it not count as a vlad? So there's tremendous issues in the Gemara. We say the Rishonim write, forget everything in the Gemara. We're not Bekiyim nowadays. And therefore, not only Ashkenazic leadership has Rishonim, all the Rishonim write are not Bekiyim nowadays. And therefore, anything after 40 days, until 40 days, as the halachic status of Maya Bialbo, just water. After 40 days, no matter what it looks like, since we're not a Bucky and what counts as what, and what looks like what, we assume everything is a chashash of a vlad. Therefore, we say in Gimel, Hamapelas kamin behema chayav of open dog machagam shkotzim or masim, which in the Gemara are very different. We've lumped all together, whether it looks like an behema chayav of an animal, a bird, a wild animal, a bird, a fish, a locust, rodents, creepy crawlies, bugs, chotzer's blood, or any other type of fetus, o shvir. Or a shvir means like a sack, like with like a thing with like skin on the outside, but without a form on the inside. Shoya. A shoya is not a, everything else now is a type of malformed fetus. A shoya is not a malformed fetus. What is a shoya? A shoya is the sack that with the placenta is generally goes with the sack. A baby's inside a sack. When the baby's growing in utero, if you would like stick your finger in through the cervix, you wouldn't touch the baby because the baby's in a like a balloon in a sack. And the placenta is also in that sack. So often the shoya is used to mean placenta. Here the ikar means like the sack because the generally they go together.
What was a shapir? What was a shapir?
Shvir is a, it means a like mass with like skin on the outside and not a form on the inside, but it's some malformed fetus. But again, it's not the sack, it's the fetus itself. It's just like, it's like a thing, like with skin, and inside it doesn't have any form. So what's the assumption? A shoya is not a vlad. But there's a rule, ain shoya below vlad. Every sack has a baby within it. Oh, you didn't see the baby. The baby must have decomposed and come out, and even decomposed fetus counts as tumas leda. Or there's a piece, and when you tear open a piece of flesh, when you tear open the piece of flesh, you find a bone inside. There's a whole discussion in the Pesach Tshuva here, but we assume that's true. If you, a piece of flesh is only for the bone inside, it, where kosher fits a lot, if not, maybe just a piece of flesh. After she'enu became tsuros, now that we're not bucking the shapes, kosher is a vlad. Okay, in all these cases, basically anything we're choshesh for a vlad, because we're not bekiyim in all the distinctions of the Gemara. What's enough being a choshesh for a vlad? After all, it's psich lekever, ain't psich as a kever blood dam anyway, meaning practically there always is blood. Even if there wouldn't be blood, we would say there must be blood, because ain't psich as a kever blood dam, even if you didn't notice it. So nafkamina is, we can call a shiv nekiyim, so if you're dalog yom, and tovel, kodom leot as well, lost blood tefila. Nafkamina is, even if you can't shiv nekiyim, if it's like all these things, you can't tell if they're male or female, because they're not so well formed. So if you can't tell if it's male or female, then, even if you count Shem Nikim after 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 days, if you tovel within the first 14 days, it doesn't count, because you have to wait 14 days for Shash Tovas Nekeva, and you have to wait till the 15th night to tovel. Okay, that is pretty straightforward. Jake?
Do we rely on an ultrasound if you went and they told you that it's a boy?
I'm not sure, because they often get it wrong in ultrasounds. You'd be surprised how often they get it wrong. I would not, meaning if there's a proof, I rely on a scientific proof, but I wouldn't rely on the ultrasound because they often get it wrong. It's harder than you, like a lot of people get surprised when they think they're having a boy and then it turns out that it's a girl or vice versa. Sometimes you just get surprised in the next ultrasound, but you'd be surprised how often they're mistaken in that. So unless you have 100% certainty, I don't know. Interestingly, the Shach here brings down the minhag of being kodesh on the 41st and 81st night, and said that a bal nefesh should be machmir, which is like the v'hag. But we're not knowing that way. The Sidrei Tari here says that even a bal nefesh, we're not machmir for the 41st or 81st night, so we're not choshesh for the v'hag. interesting, I don't know if there's a human interest angle or a non-human interest angle, that's the machlokas. In Sifkat Hay is a very sad story of a Shukchu Me'afa, which had nothing to do with the most late of a woman, gave birth to a monstrosity, but it was alive. Some monstrous beast that was alive, meaning some very malformed fetus that survived, unlike the usual. And it was just this like beast. And they want to know, can they kill it? Does it count as a person or not? And he paskins that any human being, you know, I mean, is it a human being? Halakhli says, no, anything a human gives birth to, even if it looks like a hideous monstrosity and we think it's just a behemoth and it's not a person, we treat it as a person, and therefore you have to try to be nice to it. Whatever. I don't know what the Metzius was, but basically you have to treat it as a human being. You can't say that if something, that if a baby is born monstrously deformed, that they're not a human being. Okay, that's an important lesson.
Are there cases when, what's it called, when abortion has been...
Well, here's something after it's born.
I'm saying, but what's the difference?
Ah, okay, this is, we can't probably get into this now. There's a big difference between, here's one, once a baby, basically what he's saying, once a baby is born, even if to you it looks non-human, it's still a person. It's an amigas, it's a shota, it's whatever, but it's still a person, right? A shota also is a person. Shota has all the rights of a person, just not responsibilities, right? Abortion is a very different story. I'm not going to paskin here. It's a very subtle thing. But the basic reason abortion is a different story is because it's a big machlokes rishonim whether a fetus, we know a fetus counts as a person for the purpose of tumas lida. And also the purpose of tumas lida, for tumas ovel. If a woman miscarries a miscarried fetus, it's matamei the ovel. However, that's not necessarily good proof, because that doesn't prove that a fetus counts as a live person. A dead person is matamei the ovel. Dead flesh is matamei the ovel. And dead flesh is tumas lida. The question is whether a fetus counts as a person to have the rights of a human being. Is a big machlokas. The way they close it is a fetus a nefesh. The Rambam holds that a fetus is a nefesh. At least, well, the Rambam holds a fetus is a nefesh. Rashi and most Rishonim hold that a fetus is not a nefesh, although it's still also abort. But it's not a nefesh. You add that, so there are two big issues. Number one, the Rambam holds a fetus is a nefesh. Abortion is murder. Rashi and others hold the fetus is not a nefesh, but abortion is still usher. So far, doesn't take us very far, right? There's another tremendous amount of folks who showed in Achronim. At what point does abortion become usher? Is abortion usher after 40 days? Is it usher after 3 months? Is it only usher when the fetus is viable? If I'm not mistaken, there's a Tosos Russian Erechin, if I recall correctly, says abortion's only usher when the woman's in labor, which is, you know, big kula. Says, okay, Noach is Hayav Misa for abortion. No, that means when the woman's already in labor. Doesn't mean when she's only 8.5 months pregnant. So because you have these machlokas about how, whether abortion is really murder or is just a lower iser, a lighter iser, and when the iser of abortion starts, right? After conception, 40 days, 3 months, viability, or, you know, labor, which is not a mainstream she's in Achronim, but I'm pretty sure it's a Tos Russian Erechin, if I'm not mistaken. If not, it's something similar to that. So you get a big discussion of, is it ever mutter to do an abortion or not? Normally, we assume it's always us to do an abortion, because we're not sure when the Isser starts, and it might be a very Hummer Isser. However, in some cases, the Pachlok's Aposkim, where there's ever room to be a little more Mako, those cases are all sad cases. Lo aleinu, and then we're not going to get into it now. But that's really where it comes off. Okay, but again, that has nothing to do with the question of Thomas Lee, etc. Siftalot. Yolda vlad chai v'achar kach hipila shilyo. What if she gives birth to a live baby, and then out comes the sac with the placenta? Ein achoshesh levad achar. You don't have to worry, even though you rule ein shilyo glo vlad, the sac always means there's a baby, you don't have to worry there's a second baby. So no, it just belongs to the first baby that come out. The baby comes out. Tomorrow the placenta comes out. You know? Then that's not a second baby. That's just the first baby. It always comes out afterwards. Until when? Ad chav gimel yom, up to 23 days later. Shach says that means really like the 24th day. Up to the 24th day, you're tola the shilya and the vlad, and she doesn't have a new tomas lida. However, that's only if the Vlad was alive. If the Vlad was a miscarriage, then Ein Tolmav Shelya, we don't assume. Only for a live baby, we assume that the live baby comes out before the Shelya. But for a Nefel, we assume no. The Nefel would not come out and leave the Shelya behind. Therefore, if there's a Shelya, there must have been a second baby. And that second baby needs a new Tumas Leida, Shei Pilav Achav Shesh, L'Shulya, and he made Tumas Shalakeva, and she needs another 14 days, he made Tumas Shalakeva, because maybe that Shulya was a second baby. Sif Hei, Yatsa Shulya Tchila, what if the Shulya comes out first? Ain't told us over Vlad Shetila Charka. We don't connect it to the Vlad that comes out later. The Shulya comes out at 1 o'clock. The Vlad comes out at 2 o'clock, we don't say the Shulya is from the Vlad. Filu Ben Kayama, even if it's a live Vlad, because the Shulya never comes out first. Choshesh L'Shulya, didn't make Tumas Shalakeva, and therefore what's an Afkamina? If she has a shulya at 1 o'clock and has a baby boy at 2 o'clock, we assume the shulya was from a twin that died in utero and decomposed, and therefore might have been in the keva, and therefore she needs 14 days of tumah.
Even if the placenta came out from the boy afterwards?
Yes, strangely enough. I mean, it's a chashash, but yes. But,
we assume the shulya is from the twin, and therefore she needs how much?
Therefore the twin might have been a female, and might have come out with the shulya just decomposed and you didn't notice. And therefore, she needs 14 days.
An ultrasound tested for that?
That's a good question. Maybe, you know, depending on how clear it was. You know, I don't know. Meaning, you have to figure out what they actually know for sure and what is just a good enough assumption. Vav. Yotza mitzah shulya. Oh, who learned Bava Kama? Didn't we learn Bava Kama last year or something? What?
Shulia.
A mitzvah shulia b'vlad, right? That's vav. Remember this gemara. And yatsa, the famous Tosfos. Yatsa mitzvah shulia b'yom rishon v'nigmar yitzias yom sheni. If part of the shulia came out on Sunday and it didn't finish coming out until Monday, the rule is a mitzvah shulia b'vlad. Even if part of the shulia came out, part of the vlad came out with it. So therefore, if the vlad was decomposed, then rov counts as lida. So since part of the Vlad came out on Sunday, part of the Vlad came out on Monday, it's a something. Maybe it mostly came out Sunday, maybe it mostly came out Monday. Therefore, Choshesheni Yomrishna Leinimonim Yosheni, she's Machmir, Choshesheni's Machmir, the Tumas Leida starts on Sunday, but she's also Machmir, maybe it starts on Monday, so she's Tumayah for 15 days. Sunday and 14 days from Monday. Zayin, Hamapelos Mosteheim Chayva Ofis Shulyuk Shurba. If someone has a grossly malformed fetus that looks like the hemachayva oaf and it's attached right through the umbilical cord to the placenta, and you don't have to worry that that means there was another vlad because it's attached. Give enoch sure, but what if it's not attached? Then meaning if you have a regular baby, then even if it's not attached, you say the shulya goes with the vlad. It's not a second baby. It's not a second fetus. But since it's grossly malformed, if it's attached, then you say the shulya came with the vlad. If it's not attached, you say the shulya is from a different fetus. And what's enough to get a different fetus? The afish of vlad nidma zocher, choshen litam lay me tomish al nikeva shul shulya. Nidma means looks like a different species. Even though the vlad that came out looking like a different species is male, like it looks like a behemoth, but you can tell it's a male. Nonetheless, if it wasn't attached to the shulya, you're afraid there might have been another fetus that was female that decomposed, and therefore you have 14 days for a nekeva. Ches, how you let us tumtum androgynous, also you may tumtum nekeva. Woman has a tumtum, we all know tumtum androgynous is a suffix zafir, suffix nekeva, and therefore we are machmir to have 14 days of tumma like a nekeva. Ches, her gisha she hilvi inu das ma. She felt like she miscarried, but she doesn't know what. Say he was in the toilet and flushed, etc. A few of his friends were embarrassed when he said, "Tvei aleidu v'choshesh shem v'nekeva." She feels that she miscarried and doesn't know what it was, even if she didn't feel she was pregnant beforehand, but she felt like she miscarried. Then, or choshesh, if she felt she miscarried, maybe she really miscarried, and maybe she was pregnant, early stages of pregnancy, wasn't showing, and really miscarried, and maybe it was a female fetus, therefore she needs 14 days of tumah v'nekeva. Yo, she
doesn't see anything?
Even if... If she doesn't know, meaning if she feels like she miscarried, but she's dressed and she looks and there's nothing in her underwear, then she's just had a delusional feeling. But here it means, Amy Odasma, she doesn't know, meaning she was on the toilet, she was someplace where she can't see, right? If you can't tell, then we're choshesh for the most machmir thing, which is an akiva. Yod. Now it's talking about having a real baby.
Wait,
question.
In Siftez, she did see something, she's not sure what it was?
No.
No.
She's not even sure if she saw anything, but she might have, because we can't keep track. We have no evidence.
Why is it different than the case where she has a hargasha? Oh, but we said she was telling me.
No, she didn't see a hargasha of opening the uterus to bleed and hargasha of a miscarriage. Here she had a hargasha of a miscarriage. So then she's Tmeya more than regular Nita. She's Tmeya like Leda. Basically, one feels she miscarried. We assume she miscarried, and she might have. We assume she miscarried, and we give her the dinim of Yoledes Nekeva. Yud, unless we can prove otherwise. Yud is talking about a birth. When, what moment is the baby considered born? Right? Why is it important to know what moment the baby is considered born? Because when do the 14 or 7 days, or when do the 14 days start? Right? Meaning, she's giving birth towards the end of the day, twilight. So you want to know, what day is this considered to be a birth? Right? If it's a live baby and a boy, you want to know for Bris Mila, for example. Or there are many halachas that depend on the birthday. Right? Or even if it's a stillborn or a miscarriage, you want to know when the days of Tumah start. Obviously, in the old days, there are a million more nafkamines, all these things, because it's also for the Yemei Tohar. Right? Okay, so Yod, Nechtach HaVlad Me'ehav, the Vlad is cut up inside the uterus. The Yotze Eivor Eivor comes out one limb at a time. There's a lot of machlokes shown about this, but I'm not going to get into all of them. Bein Sheyotze Al Seder Eivorin, you know, Sheyotze Regev Acharei HaShok, Acharei HaYerech, whether it comes in some order, like foot, lower leg, upper leg, Bein Sheyotze Shalal Al Seder, or if it comes in no order, Einet Me'a Leida Sheyotze Rubo, the Tumas Leida is only found when most of the baby comes out. Meaning, if the baby comes out piece by piece, the rove is Koveya, the day of Tumas Leida. The Yimyotza Rosh Kulika Echer Eitzik Rov. But if the whole head comes out, that also is the equivalent of a Rov and the Tumas Leida is Chal then. So, it would be pretty... I don't know. Like, I've never heard of the case of a baby coming out piece by piece. I mean, how would the baby get be cut up inside? Either something really weird happened, which I can't imagine, or they did a procedure and cut the baby up inside, which they talk about. They talk about in Olos. Right? In, like, if the mother's, the baby's coming out and the mother's going to die, then what do? Then the surgeon sticks his hand inside the uterus and chops up the baby into the fetus and kills it to save the mother's life. Why? That depends on the looks. I said earlier, according to Rashi, most we've shown it, because the mother's a nefesh and the fetus is not a nefesh, so she takes precedence. According to the Rambam, who says the fetus is a nefesh, because the fetus is a rodef, and the nirdaf gets to kill the rodef. Okay, but obviously they wouldn't do that nowadays. Nowadays they would just like solve the problem and everyone would live. Or, I mean, try their best and usually succeed. No guarantees. Anyway, so it's a rare case. But if it would happen, when Rove comes out, or also, this is what if the fetus decomposes inside? When Rove comes out, that's when it's considered born, or if a whole head comes out. Again, there are machlokes shown about these things, but we're not going to go into them. Okay, that's the normal case. It's not chopped up. It just comes out normally. Which anyone know which direction the baby comes out normally?
It should come out head first.
It should come out head first, right? When the forehead comes out, it's considered halachically born. The birthday, for all purposes, for our purpose, we care about Thomas late in this simon, for all purposes, when the forehead comes out. Even if the baby is chopped up afterwards, doesn't matter. If it was whole and the forehead came out at the time, then that's considered birthful. So far, even if it doesn't come out totally, it just comes out of the prosdor, which we interpret to mean out of the vaginal canal. Nonetheless, that's considered when the forehead, that's a hadacha, comes out of the prosdor, it's considered to be born halachically. Yod Aleph. If the baby sticks out, one second. The Shach does point out there. I'll just point out that halach l'maisa is a machlokas. The Rambam says rov padachto, most of the forehead, and the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef at the end. Says it is a tall sofer, it means the whole forehead. But in the Beis Yosef does suggest the possible defense of being rove of the forehead, so it's really not so clear. The Shas is not so clear whether they go by most of the forehead or the whole forehead. Usually it's not going to be a different day. who's paying so much attention to know that most of the farad came out on one day and the whole rest of the farad in another day. But it's taka bit of machlokas, whether it's most of the farad or the whole farad. Let's go to Sifyut Aleph. Now, if the baby stuck out his hand, even if he brought his hand back in, who did that? No?
Paris.
No?
The other one.
Zerach. Right? Zerach. If the baby pulls a Zerach, sticks out his hand and then brings his hand back in, the mother's Tmei Leida. This doesn't make sense, because we say that it's when the head comes out or when Rove comes out. I mean, what if the baby comes out backwards, feet first? Apparently it's very dangerous.
They do it in bigger.
What?
They do it in bigger hole.
Really? Okay. Then we go by the Rove. But anyway, it's one hand, that's not a Rove, that's not a head. Why should the mother be Tmei Leida? The answer is this is only Xerid Rabbanah. Meaning, she doesn't start counting the 14 days.
Who said that?
Who says it's only Xerid Rabbanah? Everyone, including the Shachir, implies it. He says, we don't count our days of Tara until there's a real birth. Okay, and the Beis Yosef, I mean, it's Pasha in the Gemara. Basically, the rule is, if even one hand comes out, from then on, she's Tmeya Tumas Leida, but she doesn't start counting the 14 days until the real Leida. The Shachs of Gut Test points out that is a big machlokas, that any Aver counts. If any part comes out, she's Tumas Leida Midarabban.
What's the logic of this?
The logic is Zeradarabban, so people won't get confused. Someone, the hand might come out, and the woman's not Tmeya. She might think, even if Rav comes out, she's not Tmeya. Or even if the head comes out, she's not Tmeya. Therefore, Midarabban, there goes her, if any part of the, any limb of the baby comes out, she's Tmeya Midarabban. But she doesn't have Tumah D'oraisa to start counting the 14 days till either Rove comes out, or the head comes out, the whole head, or if it's born normally, the forehead comes out. Okay, that's the halacha le'maaseh. Yud Beis. Haisa Maksha Leili.
So meaning the talking about D'oraisa and Yud Aleph talking about D'Rabbanan, but the Chabad doesn't say that?
It's a little confusing, I must admit. The Mechaber here is misleading. The Shach helps us out here. In Tess, for example, in Sivan Tess, Vom Yoraisa Shinat Tmei Aleida until Rove comes out of the head of Vom Yorbona Tmei Aleida Begotze Iver Echav Etzir who come and save Yadalaf. Whereas Shach tells us, why the Mechaber is not so clear, I'm not sure. That's a good question. The Shach tells us, so Yadalaf and Yorbona, and you don't start counting the days because it's not real, the real Tumas Leida yet, Yod is Midoraisa. If she was in labor and you heard the baby cry, then that's considered to be born. Why? Because the baby couldn't cry unless his head was outside. How can the baby cry if his head was inside?
I mean,
you couldn't hear it, right? So if you hear the baby cry, that means his mouth is in the air. So therefore, his head is outside. So let's say you're not sure, no one's paying attention, it's dark. And all of a sudden, you hear the baby cry, now you know he must be born. Okay, that seems reasonable. There is this weird case in the Pesach Teshuvah Sifkat Tess. If a man and his wife were in bed and she was pregnant, all of a sudden he woke up and heard a baby crying. Then the Noda Yehuda says, she's Tumas Leida. And she's like, there's no baby. Tumas Leida must have stuck his head out and then back in. Okay, modern science, that's a little questionable. He probably just imagined it. Or he heard cats from outside or something. So that's a bit of a sarcasm. All right. Lamaisa nowadays, if someone told me that his wife was asleep, didn't even wake up, and he heard a baby crying, I don't know. I'd be fairly confident that the head didn't come out and go back in. In modern science, he probably just either imagined it or heard something else from outside the house. Cats in Israel always sound like babies crying.
Yeah.
It's eerie when you first move here.
Yeah.
They must have not had cats in the Noda Yehuda's town.
Isn't that like the Gush slogan, Fear the Baby Cry, since like 1999?
Yes, but it's not because of this initial. It's because of a different idiom. A story about someone who sent regards recently. Yud Gimel. Hayoledes Ta'omim, Vishah of Vlad, Acher Chaveiro, Kimon Shinola, Echad Kum Shi Yisacham, Echad Achashi Yisacham. For one has twins. Mazel Tov, here they're both alive, nothing gross, nothing terrible. But one of them's born Sunday, one of them's born Monday. That's a very common thing, meaning twins. Don't imagine twins come out pop, pop. There's usually half hour or an hour between them, and therefore it could easily be, one whatever decent, you know, couple percent of the time, one will be on one day unluckily, the other will be on the other day unluckily. Mishiyatza Rishon Tvei Leida. Well, as soon as the first comes out, the one has Tumas Leida, Umoni Yimei Tumah Shiyatza Achron, but she doesn't count the Yimei Tumah, meaning she's Tvei Leida twice, for the first one and for the second one. So she has to start counting 14 days from the second one. V'im HaRishon Nekar Shu Zachar HaShem Nekar Shu Nekeva, O She'eno Nekar Shem Yizem Zachar Nekeva, Monim Shiyatza HaShem Yimei Tumah Nekeva. If the first is a Zachar and the second is a Nekeva, or is unknown sex, then she counts 14 days from the second one. However, if the first was a Nekeva and the second was a Zachar, she'd only have to count 14 days from the first one. Obviously, because from the second one, she only counts 7 days. So there's really no Chiddush in Yud Gimel. It just means, like, you count from the first one and you count from the second one. Yud Dalet. Yod Zeh Dot, yes.
She gives birth during Shkia.
Like during Dinah Shmashos?
Yeah.
Then you're Machmer in both ways. Meaning, you count it as the next day for Tumas Leida. And for all halachic purposes, it's a Safik birthday. Right? The woman gives birth in Dinah Shmashos, the baby now is a Safik birthday for all halachic purposes. So, like when it comes to the bar mitzvah or whatever it is, you would have a suffix what day the bar mitzvah is and have to be machmer both ways. And it's not the end of the world, really. What? And you have to be machmer in the bris. Meaning, if she gave birth during Ben Hashmashos Monday evening, you'd have to be machmer in the bris Tuesday. Why? Because if it's Tuesday, it's either the 8th or 9th day. If you do it Monday, it's either the 7th or 8th day. Either the 8th or 9th day, you're Yotze. Either the 7th or 8th day, you're not Yotze. So basically, it's Ben HaShemashos Monday evening, you have it Tuesday. Ben HaShemashos Saturday evening, you have it Sunday. Sunday evening, you have it Monday. Monday evening, you have it Tuesday. Etc. All the way to Ben HaShemashos Friday evening, you have it Sunday. You can't have it Friday because maybe it's only day 7. You can't have it Shabbos because maybe it's day 9. And day 9 is not Tocha Shabbos. So you have to wait till Sunday. And this is actually a Mishnah in Masech Shabbos. If it's Ben HaShemashos Wednesday evening, Erev, 3-day Rosh Hashanah. Then you have the bris 12 days later on Sunday, the day after Yom Kippur. Because you can't have it next Wednesday, because maybe it's only 7 days. You can't have it next Thursday, because maybe it's 9 days, and it's not Dovah Yontif. You can't have it Friday, it's not Dovah Yontif. You can't have it Shabbos, it's not Dovah Shabbos. You have to wait till Sunday. And that's why the Mishnah says a bris milah could be, even for a healthy baby, day 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12, depending on when they're born and if it's Ben HaShemashos. Okay, Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, you hopefully familiar with us. Yod Dali, Yotze Dofen, cesarean section, right? The C section. And lo yotze dam el derech dofen, imo tahor mi leidu minin mizava. If blood didn't come out vaginally, there was only the baby and all the blood came out through the C section, through the incision. There is no nida, no zava, no leida, nothing. It has no halachic import whatsoever. There's no tumas leida, there's no ziva, no nida. Anything that comes through a C-section has no halachic effect. That's a pasha. I mean, that's a pasha halacha, like the chachamim. However, in real life, this is a theoretical case. In real life, when a woman has a C-section, she also bleeds vaginally, meaning, you never know what could happen, but it would be very, very abnormal. B'derech HaTeva, if a woman has a C-section, all of a sudden, the doctors cut her open, take out the vlad, all of a sudden, there's no vlad in her uterus. The uterus reacts by bleeding the normal way. And therefore, she would not have tumas leida, but she would have tumas nida.
How long is that bleeding for?
For probably as long as a regular birth. Yeah. Maybe it's going to be tumah as long as if she had a regular birth. Okay, but it's good to have a C-section when necessary, because she would have been in Sakana if she didn't have the C-section. Right? They only do C-sections because of Sakana. But it doesn't make her any less tmeya. However, it could save her life. Okay, one very important discussion here in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sifkat and Ches. And also, I have my Torah Shlomim, but it's not in all editions of Torah Shlomim. He has an interesting question of a woman who sat on the mashber, on the birthing stool. I'm not exactly sure what a birthing stool looks like. I'm sure I can look it up. Nowadays I know what it looks like for when we give birth. It's a bed in the hospital. What?
In the Parsha.
Yes. Of Nayim in the Parsha, right? Bialechenes Esa Ivrios Uri Sen Alha of Nayim. The of Nayim is a mashber. So, the birthing stool. A woman, Yosher's Almashma, she was ready to give birth. And they all came and said, she's ready to give birth. And the midwife came and said, you're ready to give birth. And all of a sudden, the labor stopped, the contraction stopped. Turns out you're not ready to give birth. And she walks around for another week. Says the Nachla Shiva, she is Tmeya. Nida. Because ain't psichas hakever below dam. Ain't psichas hakever below dam. How does he know this psichas hakever? So, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's a big machlokas. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchas Shabbos.
Simon Shin. Do I remember what Simon? In Hilchas Shabbos, the Simon of Yoledes. Which Simon is Yoledes? All the way at the end, towards the end of Hilchas Shabbos. Of Chelik Gimel of the Mishnah Brura in the Shin Lameds, if I'm not mistaken. Am I mistaken? It's someplace here. Shin Lamed. Dine Yoledes B'Shabbos. Yoledes is kechola sheyesh bo sakano mechalon ala Shabbos. Okay, that we know. When is she a chola sheyesh bo sakano? When she's pregnant? No. She's in her last trimester? No. Ninth month? No. She had a little itty bitty contraction? No, a little itty bitty contraction doesn't bother anyone. So, when is she nikri yoledes chalos of Shabbos? From here, I'm adding to the Shulchan Aruch, basically more from psichas hakever. Psichas hakever is when she has sakana. When is psichas hakever? It's a three-way machluk samarim. We paskin in her Shabbos at least, like all of them. Mishatishim al mashver when she sits on the birthing stool. O mishash adam shoses or when she bleeds. Or mishash chavrasen nos sabes rotsa hashem akach lahaloch when her friends have to carry her by her arms. Because she can't walk. Kavishner Echami Elam Machalos Shabbos. When one of these happens, it's Chol Shabbos. Then you're Machal Shabbos. She's a Chol. This Simon Shin Lamed Sif Gimel. I'm going to need the. You know what? I'll squeeze this onto the board. So, what do we see in Hilchas Shabbos? In Hilchas Shabbos, we say that Psichas Hakever equals. Either Mashber, either Yosheves al Hamashber, or Dam Shoses, the Dam is flowing, or Eina Yechola Leleches. They would say Lahaloch nowadays, we say Leleches, right? She can't walk. That's called chavroseha nosu sabagapeha. Her friends carry her by her arms. Right? Like, puts her hand on this arm, put her arm, and they schlep her along to get her to the hospital. She can't walk. Okay. Says the Nachla Shiva, Yosheves al Mashber, Psich Zakever. If so, once she's on the birthing stool, aim Psich Zakever below Dam, she must be Anida. And she's Tmeya. All the Achronim reject her. Everyone in this Pesach Tshuva and outside of this Pesach Tshuva rejects the Nachla Shiva. They say, no, that only means when she sits on the Mashber based on real facts. If she made a mistake and sat on the Mashber because she thought she was going to give birth and was wrong, then it's not like magic sitting on the Mashber makes the Kever open and Dam come out. Means when she's at a point where she should be sitting on the Mashber, then the Dam comes out. But if she just thought she was at a point sitting on a Masbir and made a mistake, and Glengel's not figured it was a mistake, then there's no Psyche on that Kever. No one agrees with Nachla Shiva. Everyone agrees a false alarm, and the Nachla Shiva is a big fiddish. Apparently he thinks the feeling, even if it's a false alarm, means the Kever is open. They say, no, people make mistakes. Doesn't mean she really had the feeling of Psyche like Kever. No, she thought she had a feeling of Psyche like Kever. She had a Psyche like Kever, she would have had a baby. She wouldn't have gone home and walked around for another week. Okay, so no apostle like the Nachla Shiva. That's not an Indian. That's a false alarm. The question is, what if it is not a false alarm? What if she does really have a baby in the end? She has psichus lekev. She has one of these three signs. And then does have a baby at the end of this process today, you know, soon. She has a baby soon. The labor doesn't stop. The labor continues till she has a baby. Is that called psichus hakever to make her a nida? Well, one of the signs is don't have gemina. If the sign of psichus hakever is dam makes her a nida anyway. Right? But we want to know, what about these two signs, right? So the Nachla Shiva assumes, as do many other poskim, that these three signs make her a nida. Again, one of them is no nafgamina. Right? Right? Here's in Hilchos Shabbos. Is this also true for Hilchos Nida? One, two, three. And let's add, there's no nafgamina for two. If she seeks like ever because of blood, she's a nida anyway. We want to know if she seeks like ever because she can't walk, or because she's on the birthing stool, does that make her a nida? The Nachla Shiva says, yes, even if it was a mistake. Okay, well, what if it's not a mistake? Right? Maybe a lot of Achronim would agree with him. And here we have a big machlokes Achronim. So, for example, the Nachla Shiva, who says even a mistake, but a lot of Achronim say, not for a mistake, but if it's real, Shiva, Sidrei Tara, at the crazy placing right here, Sidrei Tara's in the back, crazy placing in a separate book or in the Bar Ilan, you can click and find it. Tara, yes. Whatever is called Psichus HaKever for Hilchos Shabbos is called Psichus HaKever here, and therefore ain't Psichus HaKever blow down. If she's on the birthing stool, she's a nida, even if we don't notice any blood. If she can't walk, she's a nida, even if we don't notice any blood, because the kever must be open, and if the kever is open, then there must be blood. However, many disagree. The Chavos Das in the back here disagrees. The Chavos Das disagrees. The Noda Yehuda, if you look in the Shut, disagrees. The Beis Meir, it's a little more complicated. But Lamaisa, he also seems to disagree. It's here, also in the Bar Ilan. You can click and find the Beis Meir. The Noda Yehuda and the Chavos Das are very clear. The Beis Meir goes back and forth, but he leans toward disagreeing. And he says, no. Sichas HaKever is, they have different reasons. It says, this does not apply here. That's only Hilchos Shabbos, not here. Why doesn't it apply here? The Noda Yehuda, who's quoted in Sivkat and Dalit, says, there are two reasons. Really, the Noda Yehuda and the Chavos Das have a different reason than the Beis Meir. Noda Yehuda and the Chavos Das say, because it's Psichus HaKever, but Psichus HaKever only has dam when something comes out. If nothing came out yet, there's no dam. The rule of ain't Psichus HaKever below dam just means ain't Psichus HaKever and a miscarriage without dam. But if she hasn't given birth yet, then there's no dam. The Beis Meir says, he says, really, ain't Psichus HaKever below dam. But these are not really Psichus HaKever. It's just because of Chumr Pikuach Nefesh Rechoshish, they're Psichus HaKever. We won't really think they're Psichus HaKever. Really, they're not Psichus HaKever. It's just for Pikuach Nefesh, for extra Makbid, because we're always extra Makbid on Pikuach Nefesh. But Me'ikra Din we pass against not Psichus HaKever. Okay. Halacha L'maisa, or at least some of them. Halacha L'maisa, this is a big machlokas. Okay, the Beis Meir is a question mark, because maybe he's only making one Nashver. We'll put him in parentheses. The Chavos Das and Nodi are very clear. They say, this is not applying to Hilchos Nida. That just means she's in Sakana. It doesn't mean Dam came out. Okay, how do we paskin? This could be a real halacha l'maisa. How do we paskin? We paskin like the Nachla Shiva Udi'ime. We paskin, we're machmir, that whatever is called Psichus HaKever in Hilchos Shabbos and in Shin Lamed Sif Gimel is also called Psichus HaKever for our purposes in Aim Psichus HaKever Lodam, which means that if a woman is in labor, when one of three things happens, she becomes a nida. When she bleeds, which is obvious, because blood makes her a nida. That's not a machlokas. The chiddush is, we're machmir like the Nachla Shiva Udime, if she's on the birthing stool, she's a nida, even if we don't see any blood. Nowadays, we don't have a birthing stool. Pretty sure we don't have the kind of birthing stool they had. But when I was little, when you went to the hospital, they put you in a labor room to labor. And then when you were ready to deliver, they put you in a delivery room. Right? They put you in a labor room. And the doctor, or an Israel midwife, didn't stay with you. Put you in a labor room. checked on you once in a while, or didn't, or whatever, you know, depending if they cared about you. Then when you're ready to deliver, they wheel you to the delivery room. Now you're on a mashbar, you're in the delivery room, right? And the doctor's chamud, and... Okay, nowadays they don't have... And it was a big chiddush at a certain point. You can labor and deliver in the same room. Nowadays that's not a chiddush anymore. Everyone labors and delivers in the same room. So how do you know when you're on the mashbar? So l'chora, we can't know for sure. Like, I can't tell you for sure when... 2,000 years ago, the midwife would have put you on the mashbar. How should I know? Halacha l'maisa, you could be, they put you in a bed to labor. That's not a mashbar, so how do you know? So the answer is, when they put you in the delivery bed, you don't move from bed to bed or from room to room, but when you labor on a regular bed. When you're ready to deliver, they have to turn the bed into a stool, right? Because if you labor on a regular bed, how do they have access to where the Vlad comes out? So they do... You ever play with Transformers as a kid? Right? They do that. Like, they Transformers, and all of a sudden this part of the bed goes here, and this part goes there, and all of a sudden it turns into a... From a bed, it turns into a birthing stool. When they do that, now you're on a mashbir. Now, even if there's no blood yet, you are a nida. So we are machmir, that when you're on the delivery bed, or the delivery transformed bed that's more like an old-fashioned stool, then you are... Or anvil, or whatever it was. Rashi says it's a kind of anvil. It looks like an anvil. Then you are anida even without blood. What's the bigger chumra? When you can't walk. If the contractions, I don't know if anywhere ever had a baby here. Some people did. Everyone else, Meretz Hashem Bekarov. Many times. When contractions are very strong, the woman can't walk. Now the question is, what do you mean she can't walk? Like her friends drag her by her hands. Say she has a contraction. I can't walk for 10 seconds. Are her friends going to go and pick her up by her armpits and drag her? No, they'll say, wait 10 seconds and then walk. Wait 10 seconds, walk for 5 minutes. Wait 10 seconds, walk for 5 minutes. That's not called you can't walk. That's not called the Gemara says your friends drag you. Friends won't drag you if you could walk and you just have to wait for 10 seconds. You know what? Some people are in bad shape. They also have to wait for 10 seconds every minute of walking. Right? It's not a big deal. That's me. So where do you draw the line? So it's hard to tell exactly where to draw the line. Says Ray Willig, if she can't walk for a minute, a contraction that lasts a minute that's so strong she can't walk, then we're machmir. Okay, you have to guess where to draw the line. Someplace. Halacha l'maisa, if she can't walk, if there's a contraction that's so strong that lasts a minute when she can't walk, then we're choshesh for emsichas kevul adam, and she's a nida even if she didn't see any blood.
What if she can't walk with an epidural?
Okay, or forget about the epidural. What if she can't walk because they put her in a bed and hook her up to monitors? Right? Meaning, what if she doesn't know if she can walk or not? No, because what if she doesn't know if she can walk or not? Because she's hooked up to a million wires and can't move.
But
what if she doesn't know if it's so strong that she can walk or not? So Willick says, epidural might be tricky, he says. But I'm not a bucky in that. He says, let's say she's not sure if she would walk or not because she's hooked up too many wires and she's not allowed to do anything fun. Then if she can't talk for a minute, then mastama, she also can't walk for a minute.
So basically, minute-long contraction.
Minute-long strong contraction. Meaning if it's a contraction, that's the minute-long strong contraction, we'll assume is habrotam nosot okaba agapeha ein yichol lahaloch. Okay, how work with an epidural when you can't really feel the contractions necessarily is a good question.
Do they still appear on the monitor, though?
What?
They do, but she can't feel them, and she can't walk, she can't move.
Right. And do they stop her from talking, or she doesn't feel them at all? She doesn't feel them at all.
You didn't feel them a very, very little bit.
You didn't feel them.
So, I don't know. I guess it's a good question. Lamaisa, you know, if you see you have a very strong contraction for a minute, you should be machmer. If you're not sure, you can be mekel. Keep in mind, we're not talking a tashmish anyway, right? We're not talking a tashmish anyway here. We're not talking about, you know, anything even close to that. So, and it's a machlokas whether this is chashash in the first place or not. L'chora, you know, we're not talking about kira basar d'oraisa in the middle of the hospital giving birth. So anyway, if you're not sure, I think we could be making only gedder. Anyway, halachah l'maaseh, this is how we paskin. One last thing, and then I will, one thing that's important. What that means is that when the woman reaches one of these three stages, either blood, which is obviously an ida, or in the delivery room, or delivery bed, or strong contractions that last a minute, then she's a nida, and obviously it doesn't mean yes or bia. There's not bia here. Anyway, it means all the harchakos, right? Touching, passing, etc. What to do in that case? So if one of these three things happen, and now the woman can't walk and has very strong contractions, and she's home and needs to get to the hospital, then lechora, that's a case of pikuach nefesh. So even though she's a nida, the husband can schlep her into the car and drive her to the hospital. I mean, that's a little scary. If she's in the hospital, and, you know, or if one of these three things happen, and like, you know, but it's not close to labor. I don't know, like a little blood comes out, it's not close to labor. Okay, then they keep all the, or if they're in the hospital, which hopefully is the less anxiety-producing case, then they have to keep all the harchakos from then on. What about the fact that she'll feel better if her husband holds her hand? Is that pikuach nefesh? So we assume if someone is in a, before they were in labor, they were in a sound mental state, then normally you assume that that's not pikuach nefesh. You don't need your husband to hold your hand in order to not die during childbirth, certainly not nowadays. So the lemaisa, if you're in the hospital, and you know it's not a real case of pikuach nefesh, what if a woman is in a very precarious mental state, and we're afraid it'll be sakunda if her husband doesn't hold her hand? Then, okay, could be that pikuach nefesh is doche, the harchak of holding hands during nida. But we should, you know, the problem is that everyone's going to say everyone's in a precarious mental state and everyone needs everything or else they're going to, you know, I don't know if you are familiar with what people say nowadays. Anything that's asur in any halach in the world, whether it's the most kal or the most chamer, everyone just says, oh, it's always mental health and it's always pikuach nefesh and therefore we're matar kol tzar kula. Including even Yehar Gal Yavars, L'kuli Alma, Vadev and Yavim. L'maisa, we don't, you know, I think one has to be very careful. If someone does not have a diagnosed serious mental illness, one has to be very careful saying that mental health is doche. I mean, it's never doche Yehar Gal Yavars, but even doche regular Yisurin, I think one has to be very careful because in the Dover Sof, mental health is not, you know, mental health day. You know, that is not doche, being upset, whatever, is not doche yisurim. If someone has a serious diagnosed mental illness, then that's different. Then they're mamish, that's a sakana, it's a tremendous sakana, and one has to be very machmir to not get into sakana. I'm not talking about someone who has a real mental illness. But assuming that someone is in a normal situation, if someone says, but she'll be calmer if her husband holds her hand, even after she's anida, and therefore it's pikuach nefesh, we'll say, no, that's not called pikuach nefesh. People can manage beseder if they don't have a serious mental illness.
What about, like, passing if it's a emo
sakana? Passing is also... passing is... I mean, we'll get to it. But passing is also usher if not necessary, meaning usually someone else who can pass her things. But, yeah, there might be... we'll get to it. The mice will get to it. You know, but usually there are other people around who can pass her things.
Yeah, let's say 4 hours afterwards, 5 hours afterwards. You're usually there.
Okay, always bring her mother with you.
The three signs are
totally... Right? Always, you can say it's an asura for me, always bring your mother-in-law to the hospital to give birth. Not just because of Hilchas Nida and Harchakos, etc. Because, like, you know, she's just like... women are very useful for women and things like this that have to do with women. They're much better than men. I shouldn't have to explain why. It just works.
All the three signs are totally irrelevant of like dilation.
What about dilation? After all, in the old days, I mean, they also knew about dilation. I mean, you don't need modern science, right? You just need eyes. Or you don't even need eyes. You can feel it. So what about dilation? What does dilation mean? It opens. L'maisa, psichas hakever. It's funny, we have all these signs of psichas hakever. Nowadays, in modern science, they say, of course, psichas hakever. We don't have signs of psichas hakever. We just look and see the psichas hakever. Or they don't look, they feel. Right? The nurse sticks her hand in and says, oh, I feel it's this open. No, it's this open. You know, she can feel how open it is. It just naturally opens. The part of the birthing. What happened during labor? What are all those contractions about? Right. Hashem just wanted to punish Chava for an apple? No, everything also has a tafkid. The contraction, what hurts so much? What hurts so much is that the opening to the uterus is opening wider and wider and wider until it's wide enough that it's time to push the baby out. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, oh, I examined you, you're dilated, that means open. 1 centimeter, 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters, 4 centimeters, 5 centimeters, whatever it may be. And what's the problem? The issue is, sometimes the doctor will say, you're 2 centimeters dilated, but nothing's going on, not labor, not havmina of labor, not even close. You know, come back next week and we'll see what happens. You know, call me if anything happens. If not, see you next week. A woman can walk around for a month, 2 centimeters dilated, 2 centimeters in etzba, ain't psich lakever lo da mashinida. It's a little funny because it is psich lakever. Now again, according to the Chavos Das Nei Yehuda, who cares if psich lakever? If nothing came out, then only a miscarriage or a birth is it has dam. But according if we're makla like the nachla shivan the city, if there's psich lakever, there should be dam. But we have no masor of that. We have masor of certain signs which are advanced labor. We have no masor that a woman walks around for a month with psich lakever. So someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein this, and Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's chilek beis siman ayin vav. And he says, nah, it must not be so open. Can't be, because we have no such masor that a woman has is a nida so early, so it must be that it's not really open. It's a little unclear what that means. Halach lemaisa, Rabbi Willick says that it must be that we paskin a compromise between the Nachla Shiv and the Chavos Das. It must be we paskin a compromise. What's the compromise? The Nachla Shiva says any psich zakever, there's dam, makes her a nida. Chavos Das says only when something comes out, it makes her a nida. We must really paskin a compromise. Only when something comes out or something is close to coming out, it makes her a nida. But when there's a psicha and nothing's even close to coming out, then it doesn't make her a nida. So that's how we paskin. We actually paskin the compromise. This check in X is not entirely accurate. We paskin that when one of these three signs, that means there's a psicha and the baby's close to coming out, then ain't psicha like her below dam, she's a nida. But if the doctor says you're 2 centimeters dilated, but nothing's happening and you're not even close to anything coming out, in that case, we paskin like the Chavos Das. And we say that there's no dam, not every psich zakever has dam, only psich zakever of something coming out or something being close to coming out. That matches the masorah of what we've always done, midori doros. Because keep in mind, before modern science, they also knew how dilated you were. And we never heard that, no posik ever said, oh, when a midwife examines you and sees you're an etzba dilated, you're a nida. So it must be that we paskin a compromise. Then she's not a nida.
What
Rav Moshe says it must be that she's not really dilated. It's unclear what that means. All right. I maybe I misunderstood. I don't know. Leave that out.
When we went to the Neuberger, he explained from David Lifshitz that when the contractions are 7 minutes apart, he said, on a regular basis, and an hour from then, she's a nida. Is that the same thing, or that's something else?
No, it's everyone's trying to figure out a get there. Meaning, I can't tell you exactly how everyone gets their get there and how to translate the old terms into the new terms, and I'm not sure what we're doing. He obviously has far in mind. I don't know what his far was. So, that's not my Masorah.
Two questions. Number one, for our class,
no one else around, but why are we considered like not the value of the Arias and their car? Okay, I mean, that's a machlok in the next simon, and we're
making. Okay, fine.
It's in the next simon, we'll see.
Okay. But also, this could be very new, but I heard that a lot of hospitals, they let the woman give birth like in whatever position she wants, standing up, on the toilet, like in any position that she may want, and therefore you might not have that
there anymore. So that is a modern shita. As a matter of fact, I have a friend who is a interesting person in terms of their shitas about childbirth, and is whose life's mission is that there should be their life's mission is that there should be no woman in the state of Israel who doesn't give birth squatting, and wants to bring all kinds of riots from Shas that you should give birth squatting, even though doesn't actually say anything about this anywhere in Shas. But anyway, so what if you don't sit on a mashber? If you don't sit on a mashber, then you're not in need to. Great, till one of the other things happens. All right. You don't have to make a mitzvah to rush and make people in need to. In this case. Or ever.
Is that
what?
When her water breaks, is that her mekoro thing?
When her water breaks, so it's a good question. There's certain things that happen. When her water breaks, often there will be blood coming out with it, which is dam shoses. No, often there is. And then it's the dam shoses. If her water, and also when her water breaks, she will then have much stronger contractions and will very soon enter into this geder probably. Although again, that's, you know, just hasharos. Lemaisa, the water breaking does not necessarily make her a nida because it's not one of these three signs. You know, one should definitely talk to their medical professional when the water breaks to see if they have to rush to the hospital. Nowadays I've heard some people don't necessarily, I don't know, when I was younger, they always told you to rush to the hospital when your water breaks. I don't know if that's still true.
Depends on strep nowadays.
Yeah, it's not because you're going to get the baby to come out so soon, it's because of infection, etc. Maybe it depends on the circumstances, whatever it may be, I don't know. Because when the water breaks, then the baby's open to infection. The water breaking is, and also the baby also doesn't have a lot of cushion, etc., which you might not need. The water breaking is that sack. Remember the shilya, the sack with the placenta on it? When that sack breaks, its sack is full of water. How does the baby not get injured every time the mother bumps into something? Because he's like in water, and it's amazing. Chachman of love. But anyway, that the maisa, the water breaking will often end up being one of these three signs. But in and of itself, does not make you a nida. Agav, as long as we're talking about this, there's also a thing called a mucus plug. What's a mucus plug? The cervix is the opening to the uterus. And the cervix is normally open. Why? Has to let things out, such as dam nida and other kinds of mucus and whatever, depending on what kinds of random things. Certainly has to let out the dam nida once a month. And it has to let the zera in, because that's how this next generation human beings comes, right? The cervix is open, and the zera can go in, and the woman can hopefully get pregnant. So the cervix is generally open. Open a tiny bit. Not open like an etzba. Open a tiny bit to let liquids in and liquids out. What happens when a woman's pregnant? We don't want the cervix. Once she's pregnant, the vlad's growing there. We don't want, nothing needs to come out till you're ready for childbirth. And nothing should be going in because it could be infection. Even though the baby's in a sack, etc., you always want a double protection against infection, right? You want a sterile environment in there. So therefore, one of the neflos of the bria, the teva, is that when a woman becomes pregnant, this mucus grows in her cervix and very, very tightly, super duper plugs it up so that nothing can go in, nothing can go out, like sealed, sterile, shut. So not so nothing go out, nothing's going to go out till the time, generally, but mostly so that no germs can come in. At a certain point in labor, the mucus plug comes out. Like before the water breaks and before the labor starts, usually, or at the very beginning, the mucus plug comes out. When the mucus plug comes out, that's a big question. Is that natami or not? So it's clearly not seeks like hever yet. The problem is that the mucus plug might sometimes have a little red in it. It's generally not red. It's brown mucus, you know, one of the shades of yarok. But it might have a little red in it. So here it's a big machlokas. Some people say that red is dam nida. Other people say, no, that red is not from inside the makor. It's from the opening to the makor, and it's not dam nida. It's red. It's dam from outside the makor. So it's a big machlokas what to consider the dam of the mucus plug. Often, it will not be an issue because the woman won't see any dam, or if she sees dam, it'll just be kesem, less than a gris, etc. It won't come with a hargasha, and it'll be less than a gris. Lemaisa, what if she sees blood in the mucus plug in a way that is a halachic shaiva? And she doesn't know, is that considered tamei blood or tahar blood? This is a big halachic poskim. Well, it says the blood from the mucus plug itself, if you're sure that she's not bleeding stam from the uterus and the blood is only from the mucus plug, that's considered blood from outside the mukor, and it's not matami.
But that's a big deal in the poskim. Okay. I think that's all we have to say for Kuf Tzadik Dalet.
Is this the last we're talking about giving birth?
Mm?
Is this the last we talk about?
Yes.
Okay, so... that's not the subject or not. So what's going to be permitted in the being in the room? Meaning,
and we wish everyone in this room was in their ninth month, B'Shah Tova. Everyone else also in the right time. But but especially those who are imminent. B'Shah Tova, good health, easily with Vadasiyat B'Shmaya. So good question. What about the husband being in the birthing room?
Yeah, especially because in the Haskama of the Nishma Sefer, Rav Dov Lior gave a Haskama. But in the Haskama, he writes, well, that's true what you guys wrote about men being in the room. It's an American shenanigans, and no one does it. I just saw where we're Kaddush.
The truth is, in America, they also, you ever see an old movie? In old movies, the woman goes in to give birth. What does the man do? He paces up and down the hallway.
No, man,
the nurse comes out and says, congratulations, Mr. Jones, it's a girl. Right? How does he know? Congratulations, Mr. Jones, it's a girl. Or Mazel Tov, Mr. Schwartz. It's a girl. Or Mazel Tov, you know, Mr. Ochayon, it's a boy. Nowadays, then in America, the husband started being in the room for the birth. Nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael too. Maybe it was once an Americanisher Zach, maybe it wasn't.
He wrote it just now.
Okay. But Lamaisa, nowadays, in our circles, it's makubal for the man to be in the room when his wife gives birth. If someone's wife feels she doesn't need her husband in the room when she gives birth, then wonderful, terrific. But it's not so likely. In our circles, it's unlikely that the woman doesn't want her husband in the room when she gives birth. She generally wants her husband in the room when she gives birth. And there's no iser. Meaning, maybe it is, maybe it isn't an Americanischer Zach, but that's not a halachic iser.
He tied it like, you should not be put yourself in a situation in the soyon, but like, what kind of these, like,
yeah,
while she's giving birth?
Anyway, Lamaisa, everyone should follow. Everyone should follow their own posek. The minhag nowadays is that, I don't know what every community has their own minhag. In our circles, it's makubal that the wife wants her husband in the room with her while she gives birth. And what? And the husband should be in the room with his wife when she gives birth. He shouldn't do isurim to make her feel better. But if something's not usur, even though some people think it's not what they used to do, no, they're right. It actually isn't what they used to do. But the wife says what they do now, and it's not usur. So you should do it. There's an isur histaklus in komos hamachusin when the woman's anida, and during childbirth, as you can imagine, then the makomos hamachusim are pretty gluyim. She can't dress tznius during childbirth. So how does that work? So the answer is everyone uses the etza, that it's all a matter of, right, what do they say in real estate?
Location.
If the woman's lying down and the man stands parallel to her shoulders facing her head, then he can look her in the eyes and talk to her, and that's what she wants. She doesn't care if he talks to the baby when the baby's coming out. She cares if he's with her when if he's connecting to her when the baby comes out. He can see her face and he can talk to her and whatever. And all the makomos samachusim are behind his back, so he can't see them. Is it such a big nisayon? I don't know. Why is it such a big nisayon? So don't look behind your back. What if accidentally, the hospital gown reveals a little of her shoulder? Okay, so you'll try not to. And it usually won't. It's not the world's not going to come to an end. Anyway, halach lemaisa, everyone should follow the minhag of their community. But I think in our community, the minhag is that makes your wife happy in the room with her while she's giving birth. Some people say it's nice to watch the baby come out. Maybe it is nice, maybe it isn't nice, but it's not for Jews. Because you're not letting stakim komos hamachusim. But you can be there and just have the right location, and then you'll be safe from all chashas.
Can you say
Tehillim
if you're
not behind? Can you say Tehillim? So if you're not looking at Makomos HaMachusim, that's not a problem, right? Meaning, you're allowed to say Tehillim if there are Makomos HaMachusim behind your back.
The problem is that when the baby comes out, there's a lot of tinuf. There's a lot of, bad smelling liquids, etc. And we generally assume that before the baby comes out, so it's not necessarily so bad. When the baby comes out, we generally assume that it might be a problem of v'hayim achanecha kadosh. But until the baby comes out, then if there are 100 naked people behind me, I can still say tehillim, so I'm not looking at them. Lo yirbachayir v'sdavar. So it's not a problem of the mekomos hamechusim. It's only a problem afterwards if it's smelly because of all the mess. Although in modern day hospitals, then they come and clean it up. Soon enough. I'll give you another tip. If you give birth in Israel, which has nothing to do with halacha, just with cultural sensitivities, Sfardim in Israel don't let you say mazel tov till the placenta comes out. Remember, the placenta usually comes out afterwards. So be very careful. If there's a Sfardi nurse or anything like that, and you know how the Sfardim is one of the nice things about them, they take their minhagim of Judaism very seriously. And they're not like us, Westerners who are like, well, of course, we should never tell anyone else what to do. Like, they didn't get that memo. Baruch Hashem. So if you do give birth in Israel and the placenta hasn't come out yet, don't say mazel tov if the Sephardi nurse can hear you, because she'll smack you in the head. Do it like very, very secretly. Okay, I learned that the hard way.
In terms of brachos?
My head recovered.
Brachos to make once the baby's born?
In terms of brachos to make once the baby's born, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a baby boy, you say Atov HaMeitiv. The Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a baby girl, then you don't... Shulchan Aruch doesn't write to say Be'brach if you have a baby girl, because in the old days, they weren't happy if they had a girl. Right? Like, I don't know, watch Salach Shabbati. It's a classic old Israeli movie. Like, it's a caricature of, certain old Sephardi customs, etc. Not accurate, it's a caricature. But still, every caricature is based on something. Anyway, in the old days, they weren't happy if they had a girl. They were only happy if they had a boy. So you say, Atov HaMeitiv if you have a boy. And it says, the Shulchan Aruch does say anything about having a girl. Says the Mishnah Brura, that even if you're not so happy at a girl, because there were two outcomes and you got the less favorable one, but still, it's like meeting a new person who's related to you, who's close to you. And if, after all, Medina, if your daughter went away for a long trip and then came back, you would say Shechayanu when you saw her. So here, if you see her for the first time, you should also say Shechayanu. So the Mishnah Brura writes, say Shechayanu on a girl. Okay, modern day post-game debate. How about nowadays when people in our circles and in a lot of other from circles, I think people in yeshiva circles as well, I think people in chassidish circles as well, are just as happy if they have a girl as if they have a boy, right? They don't view it as like a failure, like they got the worst outcome. They got the short end of the stick. So what about nowadays? People are just as happy having a boy as having a girl. Do we say that? No. Chazal made a takan of Atova made to a boy and didn't make it on a girl. And therefore, you still don't make a tova meitiv on a girl. We say chazal to make a takana. It's a general rule that on all very happy things, you say a tova meitiv. It's just a hechi tamtzi. Then the old days, they were only happy if they had a boy. And nowadays, you're equally happy if you have a girl. So is it like a takana of only a boy, or is it just a hechi tamtzi? And it depends on your circumstances and your time and place. Okay, so there, among people I know, there are different opinions about that. Obviously, the more common sense is that it's just a hechitimtzi. They didn't make a special takana of having a boy. It's a kind of good news, and that happened to be the hechitimtzi, and now the hechitimtzi is different. Nonetheless, some people are afraid of being too radical, and are choshesh for that, so everyone should follow their sensitivities.
What would Rebbe do?
No one listens
to
us, anyways.
That's true. I don't even know what this is. This is not even a real phone.
Oh, it's 35.
Yeah,
that's enough.
That's anyway.
The common sense would tell you to say, I'll tell you.